In the studio with us this morning, we have the Futures. Nice, this is the first time, Dr. and Mrs. Future. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here with us morning. Let me tell you, you know there's the adage, ladies and gentlemen, of he who has the most toys wins. Well, I don't know if Dr. Future has the most toys, but I'm telling you, he's got the best. The best toys ever. And he's brought in a couple of them this morning, one of which is a robot, because we want to talk about... Did you just thermal image my dog?
I did. You know, that's... there's Lou.
He has he has a thermal imaging fit. What's it called?
Fleur
for his phone. And he just thermal imaged Hula. It blows my mind. But what we are going to talk about today is we're going to continue a conversation that we've been having over these few weeks about robots. And you've had a toy robot here that you've been running around with this morning that's absolutely hilarious, and I really want one of those as well.
Yeah.
But that's not the point. We were talking in a conversation, guys, about robots and their future as they apply to us. How is it you were controlling this with a little plinger, you know, like you do for a remote control for your TV. You were controlling the robot.
Yeah.
But they were in the story that we were talking about how robots are now...
autonomous.
Yes, they're becoming autonomous. How can that happen? How can you have something that is an inanimate object think as we think? The story specifically talked about how robots will kill you if you have a serious illness, because they will see that as being kind to put you out of your misery. How does that happen, that it goes from an inanimate object that we've created to something that can
thinks for itself?
Think for itself.
It's software.
And that's sci-fi because ultimately humans are in charge of what behaviors the robots can learn. So we create algorithms that mimic our understanding of how it works.
Think of the automatic cars. You know, like everyone's heard of the Google autonomous vehicles.
Yeah.
And that's the first step. You know, they're not necessarily very smart, but they know how to navigate traffic, which is the beginning of intelligence, you know, to be able to drive.
And it took 100 years of creating a machine that could basically take an engine around and let a steering wheel drive the people in it before we came up with enough augmented technologies that the car would know what to do in the various situations it might encounter.
But the robots are a tabula rasa. They'll be whatever belief system we have, you know, we want to imbue in them, in the software.
So they won't actually be able to think, quote unquote, for themselves. They will only react on what has been programmed
initially
into
but
them.
The promise of artificial intelligence is that they will be able to think for themselves, and that's still in its very nascent stages, very early stages of development.
But if we have robots everywhere that can do everything for everybody, much as I would love to have one go to my house and vacuum for me today, which would be great, then what happens to humans? What do humans do?
Humans do what only humans can do, which is be creative, be visionary, have fun, do things that robots aren't interested in.
But surely then if they're imbued with artificial intelligence, then they will be able to do those things if the intelligence is going to match our own.
You're talking about consciousness, and consciousness is a mystery. It's still a mystery. The jury is out. The finest scientists know very little about consciousness. And what we know about robots is that the cutting edge of robots right now is figuring out how to give them senses, which means an ability to know about the world.
Yeah, that was the other thing. I mean, it was just when we look, and it's going forward in such huge leaps and bounds. You've had your robot, this little thing here, which is about a foot tall, for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that since this one came out, there are probably tons of new robots that do even more than this one does, and this one does a fair bit.
Yeah, they keep getting better.
Oh, yeah. In fact, Al could tell you about some of the robots. He was doing some research, you know, just to come in.
I used to have RoboDog. I loved RoboDog, but it didn't do much.
He wagged his tail.
Yes.
Well, what are they doing now then? What ones that are readily available?
Well, this is a toy. We just saw it online for $70, and it keeps you entertained.
Reporting for duty, sir.
Now, can you imagine a kid having somebody say that to you?
Yeah, no, it's very cool. And the face looks like an iPhone, but I suppose that's just the design of
well,
it.
Well, it actually, it guards, you can put an iPhone into this model, and then the iPhone will allow a lot of behaviors that aren't just programmed into it, because part of this toy is that there's a programming learning game that goes with it. So a kid who has an iPad and an iPhone can connect the two of them, and the phone can be the face of this robot, and it can be programmed in a lot of ways.
Wow.
And it'll go into guard mode, which is suddenly it becomes something that's watching your iPhone or iPad if you go out of the room.
And it will note if it runs into a wall, it knows that it's something in front of it, so it stops and it turns around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's got some pragmatic little applications.
And so what is the wave of what's happening now with robots?
Well, understanding English is a big start. I mean, understanding language. Did you read this?
I feel, sir. I think I found something.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I'm going to turn him off. At least they still have an off switch.
Yeah.
Did you see RoboHawk? Did you see RoboHawk just came out?
No.
Part of the issue with airports and with that solar facility down in the California desert.
Mojave,
in Nevada,
yes, and all the birds dying.
Yeah. Well, one of the things they're trying to do is figure out how to scare the birds out of there. So one of the inventions that's out there right now is called RoboHawk, which is a robot bird that looks like a hawk.
And flies like a hawk.
The idea is that birds basically ignore flying things unless they look like a predator. If it looks like a predator, then they're scared, and then they'll leave the area. And so that they tried to look at how a predator looks and feels and created a robot that could do that. It's a group in England that developed that.
Well, they should never have built it there. It's on the Pacific Flyway. Come on here. Didn't somebody do their research before they put that up? We'll be back with more of Dr. and Mrs. Future right now. It's 46 past 8, 49 minutes past 8 a.m. In the studio with us is Dr. and Mrs. Future. You can catch their program every Tuesday afternoon at 2, where they talk about all sorts of things in relation to the future and science and all sorts of fascinating stuff. I would like if you would tell me about this thing that you have on your iPhone and what the purpose of it is, because you did a thermal image of my hand, you did a thermal image of Hula's face, which was fascinating, and it's a device that slips onto your iPhone.
Yeah, one of the things that we're starting to see with the iPhone are some very amazing gadgets that attach to it. And this is... yes, okay, you can wait longer. The FLIR is a company that creates infrared imaging technology. Now, it picks up frequencies outside of the human range of perception. It's like 550 nanometers as opposed to right, 85 nanometers for visual. And when you can see in that range, you see heat. Now, I understand that there are some reptiles that can see in that range, like snakes can see infrared. Yeah. What you do is you see a very different world. You see the world of heat around you, and suddenly that ability is now part of our phone.
And what function does that serve for you, being able to see the heat?
Well...
heat-seeking missiles?
Well, me, I'm always fascinated with photography, creative... All right.
He's getting rude. The robot's getting rude.
He's off switches on there.
For attention.
I like to take infrared photography as a hobby. I like to see how heat flows from fountains, from coffee cups. You can take ordinary looking things like coffee, like taking a shower in the morning and seeing the heat bubble over the body and things like that. It looks very aesthetic, artistically.
Yes, it would be.
In terms of medical applications, there are people using heat patterns of the body to make diagnostics. You know, it's still very early on, but some people have been looking at blood flow blockages. You can see how various types of tumors might interfere with blood flow. Anything involving heat.
We made a little FLIR picture of our friend's new baby that she's pregnant with.
Yeah, we wanted to see if we could see her baby.
Oh, really?
And we could.
And is she very pregnant?
Yeah. 8 months. Yeah.
Oh, that was amazing.
It truly is. You know, and so it's usually been a very expensive medical industrial device that's now suddenly available to everybody.
Yeah, it used to be like $500 to get a thermal heat test. And now for $350, you can have a thermal heat phone.
You're right. And it's a whole case. It just plugs it right onto your iPhone.
Yeah, no, that's really amazing. Totally amazing. And I will tell you, you can't see, ladies and gentlemen, because this is radio, but here you have your Google glasses on.
Yes.
Google glasses, and you wear that all the time?
Quite frequently, yeah.
Did people comment on it still?
All the time. Yeah, and what's amazing is that you've heard of glass holes and people who have gotten in trouble with this.
Out of San Francisco,
But the reality is that people are very fascinated, you know, and it only makes sense. There are only so many places you can carry the technology. Right now, we're all, like, putting them in our pockets. But glasses make a lot of sense. They're one of the places that you can also carry technology.
So are you filming all the time with that?
No, you can film maybe 40 minutes with Google Glass and the battery's dead.
Ah, so that's not very helpful. Yeah. So what is it? What is the purpose of you wearing them?
Well, it's kind of like your phone in that you can check messages, you can look at Facebook, you can look at email, and you don't have to go into your pocket every time you want to check it.
And also, he's not filming all the time. It's like your phone. You can pull it out and film it. You can use it as a camera.
And how many times have you seen a sudden moment with Hulu, for example, where if you wish you had a camera?
Like when you were showing her the robot. Yes, that was a moment right there.
There you go. Yeah, so there's that. And that becomes much more accessible because I can just reach up and push a button and I have a picture.
I see, or I can say,
Glass, take a picture.
You can just say that and it'll take a picture.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just check your head like that.
Yeah. And that's it.
That's it.
And are you one of the original people that was the test driving this Google Glass?
I was a beta test group, yes.
You were in the beta. And so you're all of you continuing to do that?
Some people more than others. I'm probably more fanatical about it than most. In terms of constantly using it.
It's so Star Trek. Every time I see you, you've got your sparkly hat on and Google glasses like, oh my gosh, Dr. Future.
Well, you know, I'm going to take it to the Tesla factory next week. I was invited to be part of a Swedish trade delegation to get a tour of the factory.
How dare you not take me? I lust after a red Tesla. If you get a red Tesla, that's it. You have to leave him.
Really?
Are you really going to tour the factory?
Yes, I haven't told you this yet. That the only time I can do it is exactly the time of my show.
Oh, you're telling me that
I'm telling
now.
You now. Think about it.
Break it to you after the show, it came out.
Oh, wow. That'll be fascinating. Now you'll film that.
Oh, absolutely. And I see that with Google Glass will be a piece of cake.
Yeah, boy. How did you get in on that?
Well, I knew a guy named Lars Ling who is involved with what they call clean tech in the Swedish technology world. Clean tech is all about what we call green tech over here, which is stuff that's good for the environment, technology that improves the water supply, deals with pollution in various ways. They have a whole trade delegation coming to Silicon Valley to interconnect Swedish technology with American technology.
And Tesla, that makes perfect sense.
And they want to check that out, so.
I've only ever seen one. I saw it. I saw one actually, because you live up in the valley as I do. I saw one outside the liquor store on Highway 9, and I had to pull over and go and look at it, and I was frightened even to breathe on it, but it was a red Tesla, and I'm going, oh my God, who in the valley's got a red Tesla?
I have to know, you know, if somebody were to associate a country with the word robot, I think Japan comes to my mind. Are they...
They're
I don't know, a boiling point for all
curve.
This? Yeah. What are they working on?
They're trying to create elder care robots. That's a real driving force in Japan. So they're trying to create robots that are really comfy and comforting and can carefully gently lift patients out of their beds and help them go to the bathroom and stuff like that.
Gentle robots.
Nice. That's really sweet.
Cuddly robots.
Well, you won't be able to hear the Futures this Tuesday, but you will normally be able to hear them on Tuesdays on your website.
Yes, drfutureshow.com.
There we go. Thanks so much, and you'll stay and sing?
Absolutely.
Good stuff.
Take a picture of this.
Hey, remember what the Monty Python boys say?
We do.
What? Always look on the bright side of life.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't unravel, give a whistle. This will help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Good morning, Ben Lomond. Always look on the light side of life.
If life seems all rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps. Just burst your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life.
Damn, he's good this morning.
Always look on the light side of life. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your sin, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow. So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath.
Dr. Future, Mrs. Future, Michael Olsen, we've got Brad, we've got Rick, and we've got me and the rest of you. And you know what, Don? Always look on the bright side of life. This is KSCO, Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. See ya on Tuesday. Bye.